Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, April 1st, 2014 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. More news from these Synology scans that we see hitting port 5000 looking for various vulnerabilities. Problem so far was we didn't have the actual malware that did the scanning. Well, today we had a little bit of breakthrough there, and it's an extension of something that we talked about on Friday. Problem on Friday was that we saw a particular device that was a DVR for security cameras that participated in this scanning. Today we found a couple more of these devices, and it's sort of interesting really that the majority of these scans either come from Shodan, the device search engines, or from these DVRs with very few exceptions. So we got a hold of one of these DVRs, and turns out indeed there was a process running on this DVR that is linked to the scanning. The process itself, it's called cmd.so or command.so, is a very simple scanner. It doesn't really do much. It accesses the particular URL, pulls out the firmware revision that is being returned, and then reports the firmware version back to a command control server, just essentially to collect the data. This particular binary doesn't really do anything but scanning. Incidentally, while looking at this DVR in more detail, we also found a Bitcoin miner. Now, I believe that these pieces of software were specifically written to infect devices because they were compiled for the ARM architecture. So this didn't happen to be an x86 DVR or such that would behave pretty much like any other server, but this is a malware that was specifically written for a device like that. However, things just got a little bit weirder sort of about half an hour ago when I found another system that was performing these scans against our honeypot. In this case, it wasn't a DVR. No, it was a router. The router in question is made by TeraWorks. Not really familiar with the company. Looks like your basic Wi-Fi router. And initially I was a little bit skeptical whether or not it was actually running on the router or just on a device behind the router. But then we had a PS run on the router itself and it returned this command.eso process, as well as a Bitcoin miner again that looked just like the one we covered from the DVR. So this group of malware really goes after these devices and then uses them as platforms to perform additional scans and to use them as Bitcoin miners. Not 100% sure how effective the Bitcoin mining is, but I guess if you have enough of them, you'll eventually get some Bitcoins together. At this point, we're not 100% sure how the malware got on these systems, but the best guess so far is that default credentials were used. In particular, the DVR does have Telnet enabled with very simple default credentials, so that was likely used to access those devices. The router, not 100% sure how it happened in this case, but again, it could have happened via the web admin interface that actually does allow command line execution as a feature. And talking about devices getting compromised, an interesting paper has been released at Black Hat Asia about the Tesla electric car. Turns out that this particular car can actually be unlocked over the internet, like other cars in the past, but here is sort of more integrated as a feature with an app that goes with it. And the website itself is only protected by a simple password, which in itself is not unusual, but also there is no protection against brute forcing, like there is no lockout or any other feature that would slow down an attacker brute forcing this password. Overall, I don't think that's too hard to fix on Teslas, and given that all they have to change is their web application, not the actual app that was released to the user. And Bernardo Rodriguez published an interesting blog post about some of the dangers that come with wildcard DNS. In particular, one issue he found was with Google, where a hostname that included two dashes, Google actually returned the IP address for the part ahead of the two dashes, while the browser considered it still part of Google's domain, and as such, it was possible to bypass same origin policy. Pretty interesting, and he also has a couple of other issues here with SSL and cross-site scripting and such. So if you do use wildcard DNS, take a quick look at his post. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.